Do you know what it will entice you to clean? If your house smells like a beach afterward and it doesn't smell like, you know, cleaning products. Well, enter Clorox. They can transform your space into a tropical getaway by upgrading your cleaning routine with coconut-scented Clorox Scentiva. It smells like coconut, it cleans like Clorox, and it feels like inspiration. With a refreshing scent that will leave your home clean and fresh, elevating any room into an oasis. Now you can express your style and get shiny clean. Get Clorox Scentiva at a nearby retail store, also available in grapefruit or lavender scents. This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights. Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect. Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it, Ben. Where did you hear this?
On Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruze and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all, with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
Ooh, you do not have to say more to get me into this. To check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Yeah, absolutely no one. I know this. Get this, Nair. Yes, Nair, the OG, has leveled up. They've got these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell absolutely amazing. I know this is not the smell that you're thinking of from the 90s when your mom first pulled this out for you. These smells will light up your bathroom, honestly. They'll make your shower experience better.
It smells like a spa, actually. Oh, yeah.
And how do you know this?
Well, I mean, Nair's in the household. So anytime Nair's used, it smells like a spa.
You probably don't even know what it does.
It takes hair away.
It works in as little as 3 minutes. You don't have to bother with nicks, cuts, shaves. And the smooth lasts so much longer than shaving. You're also not going to have to deal with any of those shave bumps or anything like that, because the bumps are just as annoying as the nicks, right? Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all the nasty chemicals like phthalates and sulfates. So you can feel good about what you're putting on your skin, and you can have a little bit of a me time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself, and as Ben smelled for himself, and he likes it. It's Ben approved. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams, available at retailers nationwide and online.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast with iHeartRadio.
It is the Almost Famous podcast. Yes, we are here. We have a lot to talk about, and I would not want to talk about it with anyone other than my wonderful co-host, Ashley Iaconetti.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, Ben and I couldn't even hold on 3 hours
No.
to talk about this episode. I had to call him Well, I was at the tail end of watching, and it was funny because after I hung up with you, my sister and my friend were like, who else can we call that has the screener so that we can talk to them too?
They
because
just want to
it
talk
was
to people.
So outrageous.
Yeah. Well, here's the format of today's episode. The reason Ashley called me and the reason that we decided to talk about it before we even came on the podcast today, because it was a hard episode to watch, especially the last third of this episode. We know that a lot of you have very strong opinions, and it's, I mean, obviously very
as
fair.
Do we.
Yeah, as with do we. It was hard. It was hard for me to get to, and just to get started, I had to admit to Ashley, I said, you know, I watched this, and I'm not always great at, and you know, we've done it over and over again where somebody's had to correct us, or, you know, fans don't see it the same way we do. I was like, I'm not always good with the things that upset me and make me feel really like hurt, like confused. Isn't always how everybody else feels. I have to understand that going into today's episode. Not everybody's going to have as the same reaction I do, but when I watched this, I was like, there's no way. And like, there's just no way I can't say that this was awful to watch. It was not okay.
Well, in my opinion, I don't think that there's any other way of seeing this episode other than Clayton's reaction towards Susie is truly disturbing. I think it shows a side of him that we haven't seen before, and that's, and seeing it makes me so glad that Susie and possibly none of these girls end up with him.
That's a strong statement, Ashley.
I know.
Stand by that?
Yeah, right now I do.
Okay.
Maybe, I don't know. I mean, I think it was like kind of a scary side. The term gaslighting is just so new that sometimes it sounds like kind of like taboo to say.
And it doesn't feel like it carries the weight of the situation, honestly. Like, you say just the term and people are like, okay, yeah, that term gets thrown around. But like today, I hope you and I can actually talk through what happened during this conversation that we would reference as gaslighting, but was like actually put some like words to this discussion. Because it was hard throughout, right? The whole, if you put an umbrella over this conversation, say, oh, it was gaslighting. Yeah, okay. But what actually was it inside of this that was so upsetting for us to see and probably for Susie to experience?
The way that he tried to turn the tables on her and make her seem like she was in the wrong and she was crazy, and that like the ending of their relationship was all on her. That she made this massive mistake. It was villainous behavior on his part that I feel like we've almost never seen before.
Especially from a lead.
Yeah, especially for a lead. Because when you think of like villainous leads, like people think about Juan Pablo. Mm-hmm. And put in comparison between Clayton's behavior with Susie and Juan Pablo with Andy saying like, it's okay. And like dismissing her feelings like that. And that was so light in comparison. And then like with Claire, what he says with Claire is absolutely not okay. But in comparison, like this is just crazy.
Yeah, it's tough. Well, and yeah, it is hard. So there's going to have to be some, there's just a big conversation to be had today. And obviously we have a big episode. We have one of the fan favorites, Sierra Jackson, on the podcast as well today. She obviously participated in Women Tell All. She was outspoken at Women Tell All. We're going to get her thoughts on this episode and the situation.
We should mention that she was somebody who had a poignant something to say at the end of the episode, because she was like, I know how, I don't know what the actual wording was, but she was like, I know how horrible basically you were at the end.
And it makes sense now when she said that, why yesterday, like he looked scared.
Yeah. And she was so unapologetic saying that. And I was like, whoa, that was bold. And now I'm like, oh, that was so appropriate.
Well, Ashley, today's a big episode. It's one of those that I didn't think we were going to have on this season. I thought we were going to kind of go through a whole season and talk about the show and the drama on the show and who doesn't like who and who likes who. But today feels like one of those episodes and one of these moments on this podcast that a really important conversation needs to happen. Obviously, we not only have to have it, we get to have it because we have a podcast about this show, and we'll do it right here. But before we do, let's take a little break. We'll come back with the Almost Famous podcast and also have Sierra Jackson.
There's nothing like having a clean space. I can't say that I have it a ton with a toddler, but when I do, it's magical. And I also love it when I can add a little bit of my own sort of favorite candle, favorite scent, favorite throw blanket, you know, just express your personal style while the space is perfectly clean. Well, that's where Clorox Scentiva comes in, because Clorox have these clean scents that'll fit your vibe. With coconut, grapefruit, or lavender, you can discover your own signature scent. It's clean, so it's that trusted clean that you know that you get with Clorox, and it's captivating with scents that just can speak to you. With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you. Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pamper Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pamper Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. Ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pamper Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it. Where did you hear that rumor, Ben?
Oh, Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruze and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all, with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
So, like, how to budget for a hot date in Malta, like Joey went on?
Yeah. Or how to baby step your way to being a millionaire before you're 35.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at this episode on how much people spend on dating apps. So one guy is spending $499 a month.
He should really apply for The Bachelorette.
Or this one episode, which is what our Amazon purchase history says about us.
Why don't you just go and tap that subscribe button, Ashley?
Say less. This is really, really interesting. So to check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Smart Money Happy Hour and hit that subscribe button, which I just did. Your wallet and your next road trip will thank you.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. So right now, obviously, summer's coming up and it's a big time of the year for so many. Well, your social battery right now, probably for most people, is feeling a little drained. Or maybe you're bursting with energy and you're so excited to get out there and talk to people. I know for me, a lot of times I have to moderate my social engagements because I get drained very fast, very easy, and I need time at home.
Yep, me too, especially while pregnant.
It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter.
What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time, no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/almost today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/almost.
Let's talk about something we all can relate to, hair removal. Yeah, not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Nicks, cuts, razor burns, ugh. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. For real, Nair's new scents turned my bathroom into a spa.
You guys, I remember when my mom gave me like the first bottle of Nair to use on my upper lip. And I was like, this is so awful, but I do like need to do it. but the smell so close to my nose for so long. The worst part of like the every other week or whatever I would do it. Now it smells incredible. Like there's Moroccan argan oil and orange blossom shower cream that you can use. It's like a pampering experience. You put it on your legs, let it sit there for a little bit. And it's so much better than shaving. They also have like rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, soothing aloe and water lily body cream. Really anything you could think of to get rid of your hair in the most pleasant way, Nair has it. They have new shower and body creams that are so easy to apply and they work in as little as 3 minutes. And if you're going to shave more parts than just your legs, think about what you can do in 3 minutes with Nair. And the skin smooth feeling lasts so much longer than shaving. Like I just mentioned, you can use it not just on your legs, but on your arms, your underarms, even your bikini area. And we all know that with summer around the corner, that's a place you need it. Nair has turned the hair removal process into a sensorial experience. The scents are just amazing. And when I say that my bathroom smells like a spa, I really mean it. So check it out. The new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Manipulation at its core is when you try to convince somebody to change their mind for your benefit.
Right.
He was definitely doing that. It was definitely Clayton attempting to change Susie's mind and make her feel crazy for his benefit, which let's be very clear. Whenever you try to do that to another human and you invalidate how they're feeling, thinking, and emotionally expressing themselves, and you try to change them so that you benefit from it, that's wrong. We're not just talking about The Bachelor here. We're talking about any situation where you try to convince somebody that your opinion's right because they're wrong and they're crazy. This is not having a mature argument at this point. There is obvious he felt like he had to defend himself. And instead of validating her feelings, saying, you know what, I hear you and it's wrong, but I love you. Now, love, as we've learned before, is not a thing to convince Susie then that she needs to keep with him. But like, I'm so defensive here because of my feelings for you. And I know I was wrong and I have no way to explain it. Instead of him validating her feelings, he invalidated her feelings and made her feel crazy. And that's where we have to say, no, it's not okay.
This is the most, like, I mean, I can't even think about the rest of the episode given what we see here.
Yeah.
But let's give it a little context to it. I mean, everybody listening to this has probably seen the episode, but the gist of it is that Susie is upset that he slept with the other two girls. She tells him now during her fantasy suite date that she would not be cool with him sleeping with the other women and then choosing her. And it goes beyond that because not only did he admit to sleeping with the other women, at first he kept saying somebody, someone, as if it was singular until he finally kind of admitted it was both of them. He also says that he confessed that he told both of them that there was love. Like he dropped the L word with the both of them. And she's basically like, well, I can't possibly, maybe I should have told you earlier, but I'm not cool with you saying those things or being intimate in that way with these other people when I'm in the picture still. And maybe should I have said that? Sure. But I didn't want to give you an ultimatum. And I kind of respect that. Yesterday I was saying like, maybe she should have told him earlier if that's how she felt. But at the same time, now I'm thinking about it in a different way. I like the fact that she didn't give him an ultimatum, that she didn't even mention that, because if it truly was her and he knew it was truly her, in which he supposedly claims now, he's like, yeah, but I love you most. That's what he says. I love you most.
Which, let me pause there, is what I was saying earlier, because you and I both learn through this podcast. You know, I've made statements about love and how, and people have corrected me and said, hey, like, people use the word love to get their way, right? They manipulate people through saying, I love you. I love you. This is all out of love. Those things, it's wrong, right? We've learned that on this podcast. And so when I'm watching this and he's saying, I've loved you most, it's, but yeah, he's already made up his mind that he's over the relationship. It's almost to me like reminding me of that conversation we had last year, where it's like, no, he's using this to try to convince her that he's in the right. And that's wrong. Like, this, you know, from the year of doing this now, I'm learning, like, when you, I'm seeing right in front of my eyes, he's using heavy words, big words, like love and care and all this stuff to try to make her feel bad.
Yeah. And it's like, Clayton, do you love her most now because she's telling you this and she's pulling away and, you know, you're about to lose her? Or are you saying that, or did you really know that you loved her the most going into this week? Because in either situation, you're kind of, you're just, it's a lose-lose for him. He's basically admitting to her in some way that, like, yeah, I slept with the other girls for fun, but I knew it was you. Yeah. Which just really makes it worse.
Yeah. So, and obviously we're going to go through the other two dates.
Or his life.
You know, and we're going to break this down. But to end this thought here before we get into it a lot more in just a few minutes, I do think there was a way to have this conversation. I actually think there was a really good way that Susie and Clayton could have sat down and that Susie could have expressed that she was hurt. Susie could have expressed that she didn't love the things that were done and that she didn't like that he had slept with other people if he knew she was the one. And that he could have responded in a way that admitted, you know, what he had done. He doesn't even need to admit fault, I don't think. I don't think his issue is in sleeping with the other women. I don't think.
No, not at all.
I'm not saying maybe it was the wise decision. I'm not even saying it was a good decision if he knew Susie the one. But I don't, but none of this, none of being upset with Clayton right now is about him sleeping with the other women. It's about how he handled the conversation after Susie asked him is how.
Thank you for clarifying that,
where all
Ben.
This goes down.
Yes.
We cannot get mad at him for sleeping with other women if he was never asked to be held to that standard by Susie, okay? But it also doesn't mean that Susie still can't say, I'm hurt by how this happened. I don't feel good about the decision you made. And where it took a nasty turn here, where all of our conversation, probably for the rest of the podcast, after we get through the first two dates, is going to go, is not in his decision to sleep with two women. It's how he handled the conversation and how he made Susie feel. Well, Ashley, we do have a special guest coming on. Sierra Jackson is here to join us. We're going to get her thoughts and everything, and also her thoughts on the woman tell-all that we obviously talked about yesterday on the podcast and thought it was unenjoyable to watch. Here is Sierra Jackson.
Okay, Sierra, we'll be honest with the audience. We get the screeners. You haven't seen the episode, the Fantasy Suite episode, as of the time of this taping. But you did make a comment during Women Tell All that just made us go, whoa. That's when you kind of said, you know, Clayton, you mess up. You mess up real bad. We can't, of course, disclose anything that happens at the end, but do you know, like, how he messed up with Susie? Like, have you spoken to Susie?
I have, but I, like, obviously can't say any, like, details of our conversation, right? And I'm not going to share any details of our conversation, but, I have gotten to chat with her since everything happened. And I just know that she was hurt. That's all. I know that she was really hurt, and that hurts me because she's, you know, one of my good friends. So,
and I think that's a like, obviously, you know, as Ashley just mentioned, we're recording this at 1:30 Mountain Time on Tuesday. The episode won't air till tonight. We've seen it. You haven't. So everybody that's watched this episode now that will be listening to this podcast understands completely what you're saying. I mean, Susie was hurt. And in a way, you know, And in a way, I just wonder, once she left the show, like, did she have a support system around her to let her know that she's not crazy? Could you answer, were you there to be like, hey?
I did. I reached out to her. So I hadn't been able to hear from her, you know, from a little bit, because obviously they're all going to take their time, you know, when they come home to kind of readjust and get back to everything. And then, so I kind of reached out a few times though. And then finally she responded back and she was like, you know, I'm ready to talk, you know? Whenever she did respond back, you know, we did get to chat and connect. And I just let her know, like, you know, that if she ever wants to talk more and express more, and if she's ever feeling down or just needs somebody to just be there, like, she can always hit up me or, you know, Marlene or any of us girls, we'll all listen. So she has a great support system, I think so too, with her family. And then I'm not going to lie, like, you know, The Bachelor, you know, ABC provides a really great support system too for everything as well. So I think that helps a lot too with being able to, like, you know, link up with, you know, the psychologist they provide and everything too after the fact. So she's good as golden. Okay. I know it.
Between your comment and a couple of the other girls' comments about like how the ending unfolds, what's your general consensus as like a group of women towards Clayton right now?
So we think that the overall outlook that we all have, and I can speak, and I'm going to say this because I've heard it from all of the girls. You know, some of the girls are very, very nice when they're right in front of him, and sugarcoat a lot of things when they're right in front of him or when they're on camera. And then whenever they're off camera or are not right in front of him, they speak their minds. Who knows? Maybe they're, I don't know what's real and what's not, but from what I'm hearing, and what we've all talked about, you know, a lot of the women were disappointed with Clayton overall. And a lot of us went into this expecting a different Bachelor from the very beginning. And so there's that right there.
You mean a different actual human?
A different human. Okay. Yes.
Not a different personality from him, a different human.
Yeah, a different human. And so then, you know, right before, you know, we leave, you know, and go to filming and everything, you know, we finally find out who it is. And for me at that point, I'm just like, okay, well, I've done and bought 15 dresses. So it's happening. You know, it's happening. I'm gonna cross my fingers. It's gonna be a blind date. We're gonna make the best of it. Like, he's not ugly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, if his personality is there, then it could turn into something, you know?
No, wait, did you even see him? Did you know what his face looked like? Did you like get to?
Yeah.
Yeah, you did?
That's it. We got like that one picture. He's like in a purple shirt, you know, that one.
You got the ABC picture of him. That's it.
Yeah.
Who did you think it was?
It was just some guy. We just knew it was this guy.
No, but who did you think The Bachelor was going to be?
We thought it was going to be Andrew Spencer. Mike A or Greg, and 90% of the girls wanted it to be Greg. And so I feel like, I don't know, I feel like they might have casted for Greg, which is why a lot of us were so kind of spicy and like opinionated and very strong women, because honestly I feel like Greg could handle a woman like that. But so that's what I think is kind of what was casted for, and then things kind of change or whatever. I don't know though. I don't know. I have no idea, but that's just my thought process of it. But yeah.
I mean, okay. A lot of people don't understand, you know, they think there's a lot of prep and that you know who this person is. I mean, I found out who my bachelorettes were going to be the night before I showed up to the mansion. I was watching it live on television with everybody else, and they were doing some live show and they announced two bachelorettes at that point. And I like what you just said. It's kind of like a blind date. You're like, okay, these people aren't ugly. They obviously have been on television before and they've lasted a while with the other person. So I'm assuming they're likable. Let's go give this a shot. Like, let's see if this works. So let's, you know, some concept or context there. But at least I had the ability and Ashley had the ability to watch our leads previously on another season. You just got an ABC picture, which is never flattering.
Yeah, and you don't really know. I mean, for me personally, and I'm not like bashing Clayton or anything, but had I watched Michelle's season and got to watch, like, I would have just passed up on it because I would have already known that it wouldn't work out between him and I, like, personality wise. So that's the one thing that you do kind of do miss out on by not getting to see, is that like you could have just weeded out my personality. And I'm sure if you were to watch me on something, you would be like, yeah, that is not my cup of tea. I do not like that girl. It would have been vice versa. And so then you just skip out on time. But yeah.
Well, Sierra, that begs the question, how could you guys be annoyed at people like Claire, like Shanae, like anyone that you thought was there for the wrong reasons when you guys sort of felt the same way or like you weren't like even wanting to be with him?
So for Claire, I wasn't really annoyed with Claire. I'll say that. Like I can't speak on anybody else. I was just, that was night one. That was my first impression of her. And it wasn't that Claire was like, you know, bashing Clayton or whatever like that. I was more concerned because it seemed like she was like, you know, intoxicated. And so that's why I was like, ooh, she's being messy. She's like kind of being unhinged because night one, you drink a lot and then you're being messy. And it's not because you're messy, it's because you're drunk, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's why I was like, ooh, yikes. And because if that's night one, you're just going to be, you have access to it. So pace yourself, you know? So that was more my thing with Claire. As for Cassidy, I didn't have an issue with, like, or not Cassidy. No, Cassidy was the whole side piece thing, lying to Clayton's face. That was, I don't like liars. Like, I can't stand a liar. That's my biggest pet peeve. That's my tick. That's the one thing that'll, like, immediately get me really angry is, like, when people lie to me. And so that was my frustration with Cassie, and that was my frustration with Shanae as well, is because Shanae was being hypocritical and she was lying, and that's why we didn't like her. She was there for the wrong reason. She was there for clout. She was, and she won. I mean, I'll give it to her 100,000%. Whatever she came for, she got it. She won. She did her thing. Like, congratulations to her. I can give her kudos, and like, I'm not gonna hate on the girl. I think Shanae's absolutely beautiful. I think she's stunning. I think she could freaking go a really long way with all the exposure she's gotten, but I do think her personality is nasty and gross. And so that's what I'm annoyed about. Like, and that's the issue that I have with her, is that she was deliberately just mean and nasty to people. She could have went after that man without doing all of that. So that's what, I mean, everybody else did. So I don't see why she couldn't have. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I have to disagree with you, Sierra. I don't think Shanae won. I don't know what you're referencing when you say she won, because I don't think this plays out well for her. Like, I don't think there's, I mean, you know, I've been in this world now for many years, right? It comes and goes fast. It's an amazing story to tell your friends and your family. And it's awesome when you run into somebody that is like, hey, I was a fan of the show, and it's great. Like, that's all really good. And it's been good for me personally. It's opened up new opportunities. However, it comes and goes fast, even when the show was good to you or you were good to the show. So when you say she's won, what do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is, because, you know, obviously it's subjective of what people all consider winning, but for me, she went onto the show to get exposure, whether it was positive or negative, because obviously if it were to be positive, she wouldn't have said the things she said, right? So she went for exposure. That was her main purpose. That was her goal. That's what she wanted. Doesn't matter what kind of exposure it was, but that's what, in her mind, she wanted, and that's what would make it worth it. And so, like, you know, when there's somebody like I went on there to hopefully find love, walk away with the man. Like, it's over here, it's dry in Dallas, okay? So like, that is what I went out there for. Gosh, the baby's so cute, oh my gosh. But okay, so that's what I went out there for, right? That was my motive. I did not leave with that, so I lost, I did. Like, I came back with friends, though. I love the friends that I have, but my motive was that, I didn't leave with that, so I lost. And I could care less about the clout. I could care less about screen time. I could care less about clout. I could care less about anything else. I could care less. I have a great job, a great apartment. I love my life. Like, I'm living me. So I could give less shits. But she went on for a reason, and that reason, she got it. She didn't care about getting the man. She wanted clout, and she wanted exposure, and she got it. So she won in what she came for. And so, I mean, she played her cards right for her and what she wants.
Okay.
And so that's for me, you know?
Can I play a little
devil's advocate right here?
Yeah.
If you and some of the other girls were saying that you weren't really into him, then why stick around if it weren't for followers, clout, and all that?
So me, I'm thinking, okay, you know what? What if he is really a good guy? What if these red flags are just, I'm jumping to conclusions. Like, you know, Sierra, just like wait it out. Give it more time. By the time I got to Houston, I kid you not, I lost my shit. The night of the cocktail party, when I'm in a green dress, I lost my shit. Entirely lost it. And obviously it doesn't show, but like, I mean, I lost my shit so much, they gave us McDonald's afterwards.
There you go, girl.
Which you wow. should know. You should know that's a luxury.
That's big.
Yeah, it is. So, that was like our Target run.
Literally. So I was so upset, and I was like, I'm done with this. I'm done being a pawn. I'm done. I know I'm here for entertainment. I'm a quota. I want to get the fuck out and send me home. Like, this is not my person. It's not for me. It's not going to happen. I've tried. I've been optimistic. I've been, you know, positive, and it's not it. So just let me go back to my life. And finally, that happened. So, but me, like, yeah, to answer your question, I was ready to kick rocks and go.
Well, and I mean, I would have to say too, that's not all bad, right? Because like, it's fair for the show to say that to you, because it obviously moves so fast. There's so much going mm-hmm. on. I remember when I was the lead, there was women there that the same comment was made to me. Hey, you don't send them home maybe yet. Like, there's more to get to know about them. And if I said, no, I'm very for sure this is not the one for me, they just said, okay, go ahead. Like, it's fine. But there was always that there's more to get to know. And at some level, mm-hmm. you know, if anything, it allowed you to be around and make more friends. But I think the idea of, hey, there's still more to get to discover, the show doesn't really know if Clayton's going to come out of his shell. The show doesn't know if he's going to blossom. It could be that they're like, we see this guy behind the scenes when there's no cameras and he's like the most amazing guy. And then he gets on camera and like, we see what you're saying, Sierra. He shuts down. And so we're hoping in 2 weeks, Clayton thrives and shines and you fall for him. So I don't even have a problem with them telling you to stick around. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah. And I mean, I didn't either. Cause the thing is like, that was the only thing is like the version that everyone sees on camera. That's the version we were given. We weren't given this Instagram version of Clayton. We weren't given this Snapchat version or Twitter version of personality. We weren't given any of that. We were given exactly what you guys see, which is not enough to want to marry someone. Mm. And so, you know, that's it. So, you know, me, I'm wanting more. And I know me, and I know what I need to fall in love with and what I need to have like a lasting relationship, and I'm needing a lot more. And so I'm just being optimistic. I'm like, you know, I have nothing to lose. I'm already here. If they're telling me to wait, then yeah, of course they want me to make sure like absolutely that whatever it doesn't work, it's because it didn't work, not because I gave up or didn't give it time or whatever. So I get 100% why they're telling me to just like, see what happens. And so I did. But like, you know, like I said before, like, you know, the longer I stayed, the more red flags I saw. It didn't really clear up anything. It just kind of got worse. And for me, you know.
There's nothing like having a clean space. I can't say that I have it a ton with a toddler, but when I do, it's magical. And I also love it when I can add a little bit of my own sort of favorite candle, favorite scent, favorite throw blanket, you know, just express your personal style while the space is perfectly clean. Well, that's where Clorox Scentiva comes in, because Clorox have these clean scents that'll fit your vibe. With coconut, grapefruit, or lavender, you can discover your own signature scent. It's clean, so it's that trusted clean that you know that you get with Clorox, and it's captivating with scents that just can speak to you. With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you. Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pamper Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pamper Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. Ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pamper Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it. Where did you hear that rumor, Ben?
Oh, Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
So like how to budget for a hot date in Malta like Joey went on?
Yeah. Or how to baby step your way to being a millionaire before you're 35.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at this episode on how much people spend on dating apps. So one guy is spending $499 a month.
He should really apply for the Bachelorette.
Or this one episode, which is what our Amazon purchase history says about us.
Why don't you just go and tap that subscribe button, Ashley?
Say less. This is really, really interesting. So to check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Smart Money Happy Hour and hit that subscribe button, which I just did. Your wallet and your next road trip will thank you.
As every parent knows, kids seem to be everywhere all at once. It's tough for even the most watchful mom and dads to protect their little ones from every single thing. Duracell understands that. That's why they're deeply committed to lithium coin battery safety. Lithium coin batteries power many important things around people's homes, including things that young children may have access to. So Duracell not only educates parents, caregivers, and medical professionals about the importance of lithium coin battery safety, but they also make the only lithium coin batteries with a non-toxic bitter coating to help discourage children from swallowing them. Even Duracell's packaging is child secure and designed to avoid accidental opening. Because they believe that their product should provide more than just power, they should also provide peace of mind. Learn more at Duracell.com/powersafely. Available on 2032, 2025, and 2016 sizes.
Let's talk about something we all can relate to. Hair removal. Yeah, not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Nicks, cuts, razor burns. Ugh. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. For real, Nair's new scents turned my bathroom into a spa.
You guys, I remember when my mom gave me like the first bottle of Nair to use on my upper lip, and I was like, this is so awful, but I do like need to do it. But the smell so close to my nose for so long. The worst part of like the every other week or whatever I would do it. Now it smells incredible. Like there's Moroccan argan oil and orange blossom shower cream that you can use. It's like a pampering experience. You put it on your legs, let it sit there for a little bit. And it's so much better than shaving. They also have like rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, soothing aloe and water lily body cream. Really anything you could think of to get rid of your hair in the most pleasant way, Nair has it. They have new shower and body creams that are so easy to apply and they work in as little as 3 minutes. And if you're going to shave more parts than just your legs, think about what you can do in 3 minutes with Nair. And the skin smooth feeling lasts so much longer than shaving. Like I just mentioned, you can use it not just on your legs, but on your arms, your underarms, even your bikini area. And we all know that with summer around the corner, that's a place you need it. Nair has turned the hair removal process into a sensorial experience. The scents are just amazing. And when I say that my bathroom smells like a spa, I really mean it. So check it out. The new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online. What were those red flags that you guys were seeing?
Gosh. Ooh. Okay. So
I didn't know it was a laundry list, but I mean, I'll sit back for this.
That was a very entertaining interview.
That was a big breath, Sierra. It's like, oh my gosh. All right, go ahead.
Oh yeah. Okay. So it starts off biggest red flag. Okay. It starts off with a big one. We obviously have the children's group date, right? Hillary Duff in the beginning. Okay. The main purpose of this day is to see how well we work with children, because he wants children someday. He is passionate about kids, okay? But yet he gives a group date rose to a woman that did nothing with the kids, never helped out with the kids, was never part of the party, didn't do anything with the children. So that right there is a red flag. I'm like, okay, she didn't do anything. She was by the pool with you, making out. She wasn't involved. She wasn't doing anything. She was also drinking around the kids, not really like involved at all, but yet she deserved the group date rose. So that was my first red flag. That was huge to me. And then after that, my next one was on the night that he sent Elizabeth home. He had pulled Shanae and Elizabeth to chat, and he did not really have a real conversation with either of them to break it down and dissect what the actual issue is. He kind of just sat there and let them go at it, and then was like, okay, done. Like, he didn't, there was no proactive discussion at all. And then after that, he sends Elizabeth home. So that was the next red flag to me. And then I asked him about it, and he told me that he sent her home because she was being aggressive during their chat, and that she was the one like kind of getting an attitude with Shanae, and Shanae was very calm. And so Shanae
was being Meryl Streep, you know?
Yes. Right. And that's what he tells me though. And so I'm like, oh, okay. And this is in the moment. So I'm like, oh, okay. Like, okay, that makes sense. Cause I'm questioning your actions, but this makes sense. But then I watched it back when it aired, and I'm like, Shanae's freaking out and Elizabeth is being calm. So what? And so that was like interesting to me. And this all happens after Shanae is freaking out and talking to Clayton on the group dates and causing all this drama, and he keeps believing Shanae and dismissing everybody else. And so it was all just a really big red flag, because it was ultimately, I'm going to believe Shanae and anything that Shanae says, and I'm not going to believe anybody else in the house. And when Susie tells you something and talks to you about something, I did, Elizabeth, like, I mean, if you don't want to believe me because I see my drama, or you don't want to believe anybody else, okay, that's fine. But believe Susie. If Susie comes up to you and says, hey, this is a red flag, this isn't right, I'm concerned, and he's like, oh, Shanae, here's a rose. Like, yeah. No, that's a huge red flag. And so that happened. And then, you know, all those little things here and there, he just kind of kept showing, you know, that he, you know, doesn't really have that much of a backbone, and that he thinks with the wrong head. And
I wondered where you're going with that. I didn't know how far.
Wait until you see tonight.
Yeah,
I would love to have you on next week, just so you can have you can share more thoughts.
But
let's do it.
All the time.
All the time.
Yes, special segment, the Honesty Hour with Sierra every week.
That's so cute. I like that.
Sierra, as we let you go here in just a few minutes, I do want to touch on Women Tell All. We've talked a lot about your season and kind of, you know, all the women's thoughts on Clayton and all of that. But obviously Women Tell All was, I don't know if you're a huge fan of the Almost Famous podcast. I'm assuming you are, and that you listen to it every week. But if you haven't got a chance to listen to yesterday's episode, Ashley and I found this Women Tell All hard to watch for multiple reasons. It felt like a lot of yelling, which is never easy for me to listen to, just because I can't hear what's going on. It felt like there wasn't really a moderator. I'm not saying Jesse didn't step in, but typically, like, that is the host's job, is to calm the storm, and maybe he just felt like it wasn't appropriate or whatever. For you, can you explain what it was like to be in that room and what it felt like not only emotionally, but also just physically to be there amongst all of this. And then how do you feel now after watching it back?
So being in the room, being back there, I was really just like kind of fed up and exhausted, just with like Shanae, really, and like her lying and all of her bull crap. And obviously, you know, annoyed with some things with Clayton, right? And being there, you know, I don't think that people realize that the filming of a woman tell all is long. It takes hours.
Mm-hmm. Eight hours.
And I want to say what you like everyone saw, because it was a lot and it was emotional and it was stressful. But for me, I'm very protective. And that's just how I am. Like I was raised with, you know, like me and my sisters raised each other. Parents weren't like really around all too much. And so I have the mentality like to protect the ones I love. So when I look back and I see how hurt Shanae made my friends, it hurts me and it makes me very, very angry. And like, no one's going to understand that views and watches. They're not, because they're not there behind the scenes. They're not there at nighttime. They're not there after the show is filming. They're not there for any of it. So they don't get to see how mentally affected some of these girls were by Shanae.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Period. And so, or Clayton, really, either. So whenever I was able to see that, this is Woman Tell All. It's Woman Tell All. That's literally the name. I'm going to tell anything that I can and say whatever I can. And it's really sad because they cut out a lot of good things, too, that I got to say, that were not so aggressive or this or that. There were other things that I just made really good points on that weren't hype. But for the 8 hours, I will tell you, the 8 hours of filming, everything they showed, they were showing of me was everything I said in 8 hours, crammed into 2 hours, mm-hmm. except for one or two things that they left out. And so if you can take my 8 hours of commentary and cram it into 2 hours, obviously that's going to be a lot. I was not like, you know what I mean? That's going to seem like a lot. And it's going to seem like a lot of interjecting. It's going to seem like a lot of shouting. But that wasn't all shouting crammed into that time. It was literally over a span of 8 hours of filming and then obviously clipping, cutting, and piecing together. And other women said things. Other women said a lot of hype things. You know, a lot of women were getting upset. There was a lot of yelling and screaming, and there wasn't a lot of control. And so there are times when you do see me saying, like, shutting up other people and being like, hey, stop. Because those were times that I did actually, because before that happened, they're all getting hyped and they're just yelling. They're just yelling. They're not really saying anything. They're just yelling, right? And I'm sitting there. They're just yelling. There's no actual valid point being made. They're just literally saying mean things, like just yelling. And I have a valid point. I'm going to tell them to stop talking. I'm going to say, stop talking and shush. Let me say this really quick. And then y'all can go back to yelling. But like, I just want to make this one point. And so I did that probably like 3 times. You know, but the 3 times I did it, because I didn't show everything else, it does look like I'm just not letting other people speak. But other people were speaking and other people were shouting and yelling and sharing what they wanted to share as I just sat there and looked around. And when I finally had something to say, I was like, hold up, stop talking. Let me say this real quick. Now proceed and start yelling again, you know? So, but it was very crazy and hectic, and it was a lot of, you know, Jerry Springer vibes. It was crazy. Like, it was. I'm not going to lie. Like, it was. But I will say, like, everything I said was valid. And I don't take any of it back. And, like, the emotions that I felt whenever I was speaking were the emotions of that time and being upset because, you know, viewers don't see Shanae denying something over and over again. You know, she denies it 3 times. By the 3rd time, I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? And I'm going off on her. And they're clipping the are you fucking kidding me? Saying it's like, you know, not really showing the whole context of the fact that she's just denying something over and over and over again. Or she's saying, like, I mean, there was a few times where she literally points to me out and she's like, Sierra, Genevieve, and Elizabeth, you're fake. You guys are fake. Everything about you is fake, or blah, 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 you know? And so we're literally like, how are we fake? Like, can you please just tell us how? Like, just give us any reason why we'll listen to it or hear it. We're trying to be receptive. Like, we want to hear you out. We really, really do. So please tell us how. And she's like, well, you just are. You know you are. And we're like, well, just give us a reason. So that's my thing, is that it was very frustrating because of what all the things that went on. It was a lot. It was a lot of denial. It was a lot of pointing fingers. It was a lot of hypocrisy. And some people can sit back and just stay calm. And then there's other people like me who are just going to get fed up and annoyed and snap. And so that's what I did, is I snapped, because obviously I have nothing to lose. On the show, you don't see me super snap because I'm over here like trying to have on my best behavior, and I don't want to look a certain way or be a stereotype or blah, blah, blah. And on This Woman Tells All, I'm like, I have nothing to lose. I could care less at this point. This is like, you're being stupid. I'm going to tell you like it is. And I'm going to be emotional. And if people don't like it, then they can kick rocks. I don't care. But
I've never heard anybody else use the phrase kick rocks. I use it on this podcast a lot. I've never heard anybody else ever use it. And so thank you for that.
Of course. I say it all the time. It's like my favorite thing, because I just imagine somebody with their hands in their pockets, just like kicking rocks down a driveway or gravel road, like bye. Oh,
so good.
Oh, that's so funny. All right, well, we do have to let you go, but before we leave, I got one question for you, just because it didn't seem like you love your portrayal during Women Tell All. You wanted to leave The Bachelor. Would you do Bachelor in Paradise?
I don't know.
Come on.
It really is up in the air. Like, I don't think you all really truly realize like how over it I was during the actual filming of The Bachelor, and then by the time I came back, and now like watching it back, I mean, it's like, and now Women Tell All, and now I'm getting all these racist comments from random people from Women Tell All. And so like for me, it's like, you know, it would be a cool experience, I think, but ultimately, like, really, truly, truly, like, I just want to get married and have kids. Like, I want to get married. I want to have kids. I want to have a family. I want to live in Texas, not pay income tax, and live my best life. Like, that's what I want. I really, truly don't. I'm not trying to get famous. I'm not trying to get clout. Like, I don't care. Like, I just want a family, and I want to have, like, little babies that look like me running around.
Yeah.
Like, and I just don't know if I'm going to find that in paradise or not. So.
Yeah. Well, Ashley did, and you can hear the results of that as we do this podcast. So.
I know. He's a little chatty right now.
This is a podcast, or a paradise baby. Well, Sierra, we hope to see you in paradise. There's a couple of reasons why. One, I do think you spoke your mind. Obviously, as you said, every time you spoke your mind, it was shown. And so it feels like you spoke your mind the whole time. And I know you did sit and listen and then respond. And I know how this plays out. I also think that you're really good to have around, because I do think that you speak up what is going on in your heart. And I think that's always positive. And I'm sorry that people have been mean to you since last night's episode, and probably even before that. You're not alone in that. I'm obviously a white dude sitting here, so I can't tell you that I've gotten the same kind of comments, but I can tell you that there's not one person that does this show that does not receive some type of painful comments coming out of it. And so whatever you choose to do, we're thankful for you coming on the day and hanging out with us, and we respect your voice a lot. So, hey, thank you, and we hope to talk to you again. You're a good guest.
Thank you so much, Ben.
Appreciate
you. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you. Bye, y'all.
There's nothing like having a clean space. I can't say that I have it a ton with a toddler, but when I do, it's magical. And I also love it when I can add a little bit of my own sort of favorite candle, favorite scent, favorite throw blanket, you know, just express your personal style while the space is perfectly clean. Well, that's where Clorox Scentiva comes in, because Clorox have these clean scents that'll fit your vibe. With coconut, grapefruit, or lavender, you can discover your own signature scent. It's clean. So it's that trusted clean that you know that you get with Clorox, and it's captivating with scents that's just can speak to you. With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you. Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pampers Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pampers Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. Ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pampers Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it. Where did you hear that rumor, Ben?
Oh, Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
So, like, how to budget for a hot date in Malta like Joey went on?
Yeah. Or how to baby step your way to being a millionaire before you're 35.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at this episode on how much people spend on dating apps. So one guy is spending $499 a month.
He should really apply for the Bachelorette.
Or this one episode, which is what our Amazon purchase history says about us.
Why don't you just go and tap that subscribe button, Ashley?
Say less. This is really, really interesting. So to check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Smart Money Happy Hour and hit that subscribe button, which I just did. Your wallet and your next road trip will thank you.
As every parent knows, kids seem to be everywhere all at once. It's tough for even the most watchful mom and dads to protect their little ones from every single thing. Duracell understands that. That's why they're deeply committed to lithium coin battery safety. Lithium coin batteries power many important things around people's homes, including things that young children may have access to. So Duracell not only educates parents, caregivers, and medical professionals about the importance of lithium coin battery safety, but they also make the only lithium coin batteries with a non-toxic bitter coating to help discourage children from swallowing them. Even Duracell's packaging is child secure and designed to avoid accidental opening. Because they believe that their product should provide more than just power, they should also provide peace of mind. Learn more at Duracell.com/powersafely. Available on 2032, 2025, and 2016 sizes.
Let's talk about something we all can relate to. Hair removal. Yeah, not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Nicks, cuts, razor burns. Ugh. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. For real, Nair's new scents turned my bathroom into a spa.
You guys, I remember when my mom gave me like the first bottle of Nair to use on my upper lip. And I was like, this is so awful, but I do like need to do it. But the smell so close to my nose for so long. The worst part of like the every other week or whatever I would do it. Now it smells incredible. Like there's Moroccan argan oil and orange blossom shower cream that you can use. It's like a pampering experience. You put it on your legs, let it sit there for a little bit. And it's so much better than shaving. They also have like rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, soothing aloe and water lily body cream. Really anything you could think of to get rid of your hair in the most pleasant way, Nair has it. They have new shower and body creams that are so easy to apply and they work in as little as 3 minutes. And if you're going to shave more parts than just your legs, think about what you can do in 3 minutes with Nair. And the skin smooth feeling lasts so much longer than shaving. Like I just mentioned, you can use it not just on your legs, but on your arms, your underarms, even your bikini area. And we all know that with summer around the corner, that's a place you need it. Nair has turned the hair removal process into a sensorial experience. The scents are just amazing. And when I say that my bathroom smells like a spa, I really mean it. So check it out. The new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Obviously, Sierra was an incredible guest with a lot of insight. She's one of those people that come off the show that does speak her mind. And that is, especially for a podcast, always appreciated. I think it was also appreciated, it sounds like, by the group of friends that she had in the house, because I do think she supported them well. Ashley, in our last final moments here, as we close out this podcast, we do want to run through this episode. We had three fantasy suite dates. The first two, obviously one with Gabby, one with Rachel. You know, it felt like to me, the storyline throughout was, hey, he's into him and they're into him. And it kind of was like the moderator behind the scenes was Susie just continuing to reinforce into all the viewers' mind, like, are they going to sleep together or not? Like, that
Something's
was kind of my
happen.
Thoughts.
Yeah. At the end, it was just like, Susie's leaving.
So, you know, the first two dates, I wasn't shocked, I think, because of how many teasers we've gotten that he expressed love for both of them. I obviously am not in a place to judge him there. I'm watching going, I get it. And I could go on and on. And we've done it many times on this podcast about, you know, you're in this situation and what that feels like. And, you know, it's chaotic and you can't really get your thoughts straight. And the only thoughts you know how to communicate are the ones that you're feeling at that moment. And so he obviously says this, and I'm sitting there going like, for, I bet my name is brought up tonight on Twitter more than it's been in like 4 years. Like I bet he, you know, he held my beer.
Ben Higgins.
Or I held his beer. And he went off and did this in ways that I never dreamed of doing it. But I cannot criticize him for that. But that is the first part of this episode. Are those dates going well in theory for that relationship? Him sleeping with both, telling both that he loved them. The one thing here that I do think, and you could probably argue I did the same thing.
Falling in love versus in love?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's like, at some level, like I would argue it's semantics. Like I can't give myself a break there. Right. Like I do think that you could argue that I did the same thing. And so I'm not like saying, you know, I'm holier now here, but probably something I could be criticized for and admit to that I don't love that I did. That I don't love that he did is I think he led both to believe that they were the one for him. Okay. And I think that's a problem because I think in his mind, at least from what we see at the end of the episode, Susie was the one for him. But yet he is making those girls feel like they're the one for him, which probably makes them, you know, relax, have more fun, come back all giddy, like, oh, I just found my husband. And again, if there's anybody that should be criticized for this or that could sit in the same camp as him, it's me. But I just don't think it was good. I don't think it was good that I did it. I don't think it was good that he did. I don't think it's a wise decision on the show.
You know, when you did it, it seemed like it was almost like an accident. You're like, oh, right?
Well, I didn't think that. Yeah, I was like, I went back and pounded my head against my pillow in my hotel room and like, I'm an idiot.
Like, that was word vomit for you. Like, you really did. I feel like you really did feel that, but you didn't mean to, like, actually say it out loud to both. And then with Clayton, it was, like, very intentional.
Yeah.
Like, he wanted them to know this. Like, he thought he was doing the right thing. And he even kind of mentioned that to Serene during Women Tell All.
Yeah.
He was like, you made me make the decision, in so little words.
Yeah.
He's like, you made me make the decision that I should just be open and honest about my feelings towards everyone. And I really think that that was what was going through his head when he intentionally said, like, I love you to all three women.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And you, I mean, I would love to give myself the benefit of the doubt. I mean, I do think you're not wrong. I know my reaction once that day, those days were over. And I know that I went back and like paced around my Jamaican hotel room and was like, you are so dumb, Ben. Like, you cannot do this right. You've messed this whole thing up. So I get, yeah, I mean, I felt a lot of like guilt, I guess, because of this. But I also am now, you know, years out, married, happily married, moved on. And I can say, hey, I just don't think it was a good decision that I made. Don't think it was a good decision he made. Okay. So on to his worst decision. One that is a very serious matter is he sits down with Susie. They have a great date.
Okay. I'm pulling our quotes up. Well, do they have a great date?
I think it was
maybe
fine.
Maybe I'm overanalyzing the body language. But I still feel like she was losing interest. Or maybe I'm misinterpreting that.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just her worry. Like, her worry, like, oh, what happened with the others? I'm very, like, I'm keeping you at a distance because I don't know how I'm going to feel about you when we actually have this conversation later.
I think, yeah. So I was, until you just finished that, I was going to disagree with you. I don't think she was losing interest. I think her mind was elsewhere. I think her mind was on the conversation they were going to have at dinner the whole time. And I'm assuming she never felt like it was appropriate to have it as they're dancing in a steam shower or they're running through ice. Like, that doesn't feel like the right time to have this. And so she made it through that to have the conversation later. And I do think there was that sense of, I'm not in this right now. And I'm just hoping that the worst or what my mind is, what I'm thinking in my mind is not true. Okay. Yeah. So you're pulling up the quotes. And as you do that, this is how the date goes on. They have their morning portion. Ashley and I just mentioned it felt distance, but I think we could blame that on her mind being elsewhere. They sit down at dinner, and at some point, Susie, within that dinner, says, here's my concerns. Here's where my mind's at. You just told me that you love me. And I obviously am very into you, and I'm falling in love with you, or I am in love with you. But I need to know if you have been intimate with anybody else. Like, are you telling these other women the same thing?
Yeah.
So the first question I have for you, Ashley, and for the audience listening, and you can they can answer it as they hear this. Was it appropriate for Susie to ask Clayton on the spot about the other relationships going on at the time?
I think yes.
But why? Think?
Why? Because... I think it's a okay thing. I think it's something you should know. I know you said yesterday, you're like, it's different with The Bachelor because like the start of your relationship is kind of like when you leave just the two of you.
Yeah.
But I think it's like totally fair to know if you're like saying I love you or like falling or like having sex with somebody else before you get engaged to that person.
I would say the same thing. I would say it would be a really hard position to be in as the lead if that's, you know, the decisions that you've made. I don't think it would have been ideal, like, to be put up in a position to have to answer it. But I think at this point in a relationship, as you're a week away from getting engaged, any questions on the table, like, you should not feel
it's
like
all
you
fair.
Have... It's all fair. Like, it is all fair. Even the hardest conversations are fair because you're about to get engaged with somebody. And if we're really, if this show really is going to form healthy, loving relationships, you know this with being married. Our listeners know this if they've been in a really healthy, loving relationship. Hard questions are asked all the time. And like, that's part of it. The communication there factor. Okay, so we've gotten through that hurdle. The second step is Clayton's response. Is he is honest. It's obviously throws him off and he feels defensive, but he is honest and he tells
her. It escalates. That's the thing. At first, didn't really like it, right? And then all of a sudden, he's like, I hate you.
Okay, but he answered it. So we get to this point in time where he has answered the question honestly. As we mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, there is a really good way this conversation could have occurred and happened. They both could have talked it out. They might have still separated and gone their separate ways because, hey, Susie is just like, I can't get over this and this is too weird for me and you've slept with people when you're going to... That would have been an okay result of all of this. But it's how then, between her leaving and him having his first initial response or maybe even her question, that this thing gets ugly so fast and so horrible to watch. Ashley, you called me, obviously. You're watching with your sister and your friend, and you were like, we got to call somebody that's seen it. At what point did you go, oh my gosh, like, this is no longer even fun for me to watch. This is hard for me to watch.
Okay. The point was when he says, you've invalidated everything we have.
I remember
what?
That.
because she didn't tell you before the fantasy suite week that she would have preferred you not sleep with everyone? Mm. Wow. Now, yeah, that being said, I don't have an issue with him choosing to sleep with people. My issue, which you said earlier in the show, is his choice of words, how he's treating her, how he's flipping this whole situation on like it being her fault mm-hmm. that they are no longer going to work out.
And at its simplest level, like if we just totally boiled this down to how this whole conversation went, it was Clayton continuing to try to make Susie feel like it was her fault.
Yeah, which is the definition of gaslighting.
It is, and it was awful to see because there was admittance on his part of, yes, I made this decision. I didn't know like that this was going to hurt you. He's not the first lead, as we mentioned yesterday, to sleep with multiple people. I promise you that. There's some leads that don't sleep with anybody. There's some leads that might just sleep with one, but he's not the first lead, guy or girl, to sleep with multiple people in the fantasy suites before they get engaged, okay? Yeah. So we can't be like, Clayton, you're terrible for that. We just can't. But to finish this, I also have never seen a lead respond, at least in my memory. There might have been one, but like we're talking about this scenario. Yeah, with the... this was the standard. This is what you're communicating to me. This is how I've hurt you, or this is where you're hurt right now. And as a result, like, I'm going to make sure you feel like you're in the wrong for feeling, Susie, you feeling this way. That's where this whole thing went sideways, and it just kept going and going and going.
And what was sad was how she was responding to it. Like, I felt so bad for her because, like, she's trying to like fix things. She's saying like, I'm sorry, even. She's like, yeah, apologizing. And I'm like, girl, no. And I'm like, I understand, you know, she's on camera. I'm sure she's going to watch this back. I'm sure she it's not even watching this back. Like she probably got to the hotel room and it was like, I should have said this. I should have said that.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, and I just feel so bad that in that moment, she felt like she had something to apologize for.
Well, and, you know, like you just said, you just laid it out perfectly. You know, she's in an environment where she doesn't have a sound support system around her. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have the ability to walk away from the table and call up a friend and be like, this is what my boyfriend is telling me right now. Yeah. And this is how I'm feeling. And this is what I told him. Like, she doesn't have that. And so she's kind of on an island alone. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, she's on camera. There is this guy who is the bachelor, mm-hmm. right? And like that hat carries like whatever kind of weight. And she's trying to figure out if she's going to marry this dude or not. So like, I'm sure she did. And especially after watching this episode, she's going to be like, I wish I would have said this and I wish I would have said that. And I'm sure she's going to come out probably and say some stuff here publicly. But I felt that same way for her in the moment. It was like, you don't need to apologize for anything, Susie. Like, there is nothing in this moment you need to apologize for. You just communicated your feelings and what hurt you. And in a good relationship with a good partner, like, that is not received with defense. Like, it never is. If at any relationship in my life that I would have said to Jessica's a great example. If I had came to her and said, hey, hun, what you said last night hurt me. And she would have told me, well, you're crazy for feeling hurt by that. No, like, you know what she would do? She would, let me hear why. Like, tell me why that hurt you. And then she would either say, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it like that. Or she would say, we just misunderstood each other and we would move on with life. But she would never, ever make me feel crazy for feeling a certain way. That's so wrong, especially on a big topic like this.
He like made himself the victim. And think about like how egotistical that whole thing was. It was like, oh, you didn't like a decision of mine? Well, I am going to break. You want to like maybe break up with me? Like this isn't working out for you? Well, I'm going to break up with you. I'm sending you home. This is not working for us anymore.
It's it was hard to watch. And I'm glad that you called me to talk about it after you saw it. You were very upset and very, and I told you, I had to admit to you. I was like, you know, I'm glad you called because I was confused watching it. Like
is this real life?
And yeah. Like, am I at all on the same page as you, Ashley, when I watch this and go, this feels bad. I had to get I had to get some accountability, and we both were like, no, like there's a reason why we watch this, and then like it's hard to watch, it's hard to see, and it's unfortunate for Susie, and it's unfortunate that, you know, this is going to be such a big storyline now. Really, probably I would imagine for the rest of this season, because it's just not a good look, and it's not healthy for anybody to have to witness. But maybe there's going to be good conversations that come out of it. Maybe people will be like, hey, do you see this? This is not the right thing to do. This is not right, the right way to communicate. And maybe people will be bettered for it. I hope so. But until then, it was really ugly. It was a really bad moment for this show and for our current lead. It was. Ugh. And I there's no other way to put it, I don't think.
I'm reading the quotes now, and I'm just seeing how many times she said, like, I'm sorry. I feel awful. I feel bad. And then she goes, I can tell every ounce of him that in every ounce of him, he like hates me, and I'm sorry for the pain that I caused him. And then he says, everything happens for a reason, and I will move, and this will help move my life forward. I will find someone who will fight for me. I thought she was that person. This was my biggest fear, the person that I loved being gone. Wild.
Absolutely wild. Well, I don't think there's anything else to say. We could continue to exacerbate this and keep talking about it and saying how hard it was to watch, how bad it was to watch, how bad it was to be a part of, and how we feel for Susie. And, you know, we obviously don't know what happens the rest of the season, but we're obviously going to be talking about it here on the podcast.
Let's end with that then. What do you think, Ben, is what's going to happen after seeing this and the scenes for the next episode?
Oh, I think both of them leave. I don't think they're, I think both of them leave, and I think both of them leave because, because I'm sure he tells them about how he feels about both of them. It seems like he does it for both of them together, at least according to the teasers. I think it probably confuses both of them. This is all assumption, by the way. And I think they probably have a similar reaction as Susie's. And I'm wondering now how he handles that. That was my, that's an all complete assumption, but that I just think in short, they both leave.
Right. And that truly will be the first time in Bachelor history that the Bachelor is left alone at the end of this, because all of his women left.
Absolutely wild. Well, Ashley, thanks for talking through this with, you know, everybody listening and me, and then Sierra, thanks for talking to Ashley and I both. It's a big deal.
Thanks for spilling the tea. Is that expression chuggy of me?
No, that's good. She told us a lot. And also I thought Sierra gave us good perspective into the minds and the thoughts of the women, which gives more clarity to people or to the, really the whole season. I wish we would have known that going in, that, hey, there were some women that just weren't into this thing. It would have made sense a lot more on why stuff was happening the way it was. But well, that's a big episode, but another episode of the Almost Famous podcast. Please again, write in your thoughts, your feelings on this episode to us. Ashley and I both put up polls on social media and Twitter. I've been reading them as actually we're sitting here to keep up to date.
Most people don't want women tell all anymore.
I'd say 70%. I think I saw on both of ours.
That was about mine too.
Yeah. We're not into it anymore. I think just probably because it just didn't seem healthy. And it hasn't seemed healthy in a while. So, with that, I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley. Bye guys.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it, Ben. Where did you hear this?
On Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all, with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
Ooh, you do not have to say more to get me into this. To check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Childproofing people's homes is hard, but Duracell is making it just a bit simpler. Not only are they committed to educating parents, caregivers, and medical professionals about the importance of battery safety, They also make the only lithium coin batteries with a non-toxic bitter coating to help discourage children from swallowing them. Duracell even features child-secure packaging designed to avoid accidental opening. Learn more at Duracell.com/power safely, available on 2032, 2025, and 2016 sizes.
I've discovered the secret to turning diaper duty into pure parenting joy. Okay, well, that might be a stretch, but Pampers Swaddlers is truly the answer. They feature a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, including even blowouts. And for 2024's hottest baby shower / sprinkle gift, it's the Pampers Diaper Stash. I am so for diapers for a baby shower or registry. This Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund where family and friends can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. Just create an account, share it, and then watch it grow, and then gift it. So easy. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness with Pampers Swaddlers and the Pampers Diaper Stash.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.